All right, we're turning it over to you for the final hour of the show today. It's Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle. It's because we believe in you guys. Phone lines are full. Text messages coming in as well. And there's no real question here. I just kind of threw one out to spark some of the conversation. But it's open phone lines. It's open phone lines. It's whatever you want to say, whatever you want to talk about, and we'll address it. You get to control the show here for the better part of the 9 o'clock hour. But the idea behind it was, sort of, you know, the way to sort of generate some buzz was, you know, just think about an argument or a point you've been trying to make to your friends for a little while. Something you've been trying to tell them. Maybe they're listening. Maybe they're not. It's an argument you're having. It's a long running sports debate, whatever it is. Something that you want to get off your chest with regards to the Seattle sports scene.
Can you do me a favor one day?
Sure.
Can you? I'm serious about this. I'll buy it or I'll borrow it for my baseball team. We have pitch counts, very important in Little League Baseball these days, to protect the arms, even at a young age. So you can't, you know, run little Johnny out for 120 pitches. Can you, over the course of a day sometime, just carry that in your pocket of just all the little arguments you have in your head?
Yeah.
Or all the little thoughts that you have, or all the little, like, can you do that?
How high do those counters go?
Like this little Fitbit thing that I wear, right?
How high do they go?
It counts every one of my steps. If you would just so kindly oblige me to that one day so I can hear how many of these arguments are a constant in your head.
I will.
I'm glad that there's many more of you out there.
I think there's a lot of people. They only have to have one. They don't have to have 1,000 of them. What's one thing that's been on your mind? We'll take some of the texts as well at 710-710, powered by Coors Light, but the line's here as well. 206-421-3776. We'll go right down the list, starting with Saxon, who was in Woodinville. Good morning, Saxon.
Morning, guys.
What's on your mind?
Hey, I had a question. The other day I was watching George Springer, and he was coming up to bat, and he uses an axe handle type bat. It was something that I saw that was popular when I was younger. They started to come out for Little League and stuff like that. And I almost leaned over to my girlfriend and asked her why he used it, and I realized I was a lost cause. So I was calling you guys.
All right, well, let's start. Hold on. Let's start at the beginning. Can you tell our audience who George Springer is?
Stop it. Knock it off.
They don't know who George Springer is.
Go ahead, Saxon.
And I was curious, what is the benefit to using that axe handle bat? And is there anybody else in the league that uses that bat? I don't see
I think there are a bunch of guys. Isn't that what Baden makes, the local company, Baden?
Mm-hmm.
They're
yes.
local, right?
Yeah, they're one of the first
to do it.
Although
it says their headquarters online is in... Oh, that's a B-O-D-E-N. Sorry. Baden is, I think, a local company, and they make the axe handle bat. My understanding is that it has to do with the weight distribution, right? So it sort of allows the thing to swing around quickly like an axe. That's the idea of it.
Yeah, Saxon, thank you for the phone call. You actually heard, I think it was yesterday or the day before, Goldsmith and Blowers had this conversation during and on the air. And Nelson Cruz came up to bat without any gloves. Which, of course, then Titus is going to mimic at some point in a game, because if Nelson Cruz does it, I'm going to do it. And and Aaron asked him, said to Blowers, like, is that kind of weird? And Mike's like, no. You know, guys will just do all sorts of different things. And then actually they looked at the handle of the bat, because some of the guys mess around with it and just try this out and try that out. I think it's also they've made the case maybe an injury prevention as well from a torque standpoint or whatever. Not only does it create – you know, faster bat speed through or whatever the pitch is, it also is. You know,
it seems really uncomfortable to me. Like every time I look at it, it doesn't.
Did you try it down in Peoria?
No.
Didn't grip it?
No.
Yeah.
But I understand that it's been kind of a really popular thing over the last few
years. The axe handle follows the shape of the hand because your hand is longer than it is rounder when you curl your hands around it.
I don't know. It doesn't. It's one of those things adjusting to something new.
Otherwise, why would they make axes with axe handles? Why wouldn't they just make them straight? I mean, the straight technology is much easier to make than an axe handle.
But ever swing an axe? I feel like it's much less comfortable than swinging a baseball bat. I'd rather swing a baseball bat than an axe.
Have you seen the deck he built, bro?
I know.
Yeah.
Audi's a force out there. All right, 206-421-3776. Open line. Scott's in Kent. Hi, Scott.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
So good to hear your voice.
Doing well. Hey, I am calling because of Juan Nicasio specifically. The last couple outings he's gone out, he's been lit up like a Christmas tree. And I, a Pittsburgh native, and have followed the Pirates even though I've been out here for years. And I remember last year he was getting lit up like a Christmas tree, too, when he was with the Pirates. So now we've got him now. So I was wondering your opinion on him. Should the Mariners start raising some red flags about this guy? Because to me, like I said, he's been just getting lit up like a Christmas tree. Wow. He gave up, I think it was like 5 hits to 5 different batters. The only guy he got out was because of...
Yeah, he was pretty tough last night. Yeah. Let's correct some of the history on this. He was pretty good in Pittsburgh last year.
Okay, maybe so. But
I mean, the number he was really good in Pittsburgh last year. He appeared in 65 games for them. He had an ERA of 2.85. His WHIP was just barely over one. He had really good numbers in Pittsburgh last year. He was a good reliever. And that's why the Mariners gave him a 2-year deal. So they're not going to move on from him. They're paying him money, legit money, over almost $8 million this year and over $9 million next year.
But Scott, they spent some money on him. You reference a Christmas tree three different times there. Salk is reference Juan Nicasio at least a dozen times.
Yeah, he makes me very nervous.
Very nervous. Yeah. Even through spring training, you're just like, I just don't
think
really
he's healthy. When I watch him pitch and knowing what he's done in the past, and I see him like having to hump it up to 94, 95, and then one day he gets excited 97 because he's trying to overthrow, that tells me that he's not as healthy as he needs to be. Now, he'll pitch through it. He's a tough guy, and he's one of those pitchers who takes that job seriously. But I personally, I don't think he's 100% healthy. That'd be
my guess. Last year, he also pitched in more than 20 games is normal than what he had done the previous season.
Yeah,
so he was definitely, and it was his best year, and yet he was just probably overused.
Yeah.
And you can take just about any of these guys, not only closers. Betances last year had a rough year. We signed a guy by the name of Benoit.
To begin this year.
Yes, Benoit a couple years ago was supposed to be like a Nicasio, a guy that had a proven track record, you know, could still hump it over 95 in there, that knew what he was going to do, that knew how to attack.
So you're not going to get rid of Juan Nicasio, not with the money that you're paying him this year and next, but that doesn't mean he deserves the eighth innings role forever.
Yeah,
and I think you got to have a conversation.
Remember that? He has a wine cooler.
He had his wine fridge at his locker in spring training.
That is a red flag. That's like Christmas tree.
Nicasio's not like that. He wants the ball every single day. He wants to go out and pitch. He wants to be there for his team. Great teammate.
What do you want in the clubhouse? I want my wine cooler.
Need to have it. All right.
Like the little drink wine cooler after a game? No.
No, the big one.
Like the big one. Like I'm going to house my wine in there.
206. I'm sorry.
One quick upside to Juan Nicasio is the friendship and the mentorship that he has with Edwin Diaz. And I think that's more of one of those things that doesn't show up on paper, but the friendship that those two have developed and what he's done for Eddie Diaz as a closer, I think, is an important note.
206-421-3776. Anything that you want to say, anything that's been on your mind sports-wise, we're going to buzz through more of your calls here. Drew is in Tacoma. Drew, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Big fan of the show. Wanted to say thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
All right, so the whole Ichiro fun fact of the day sparked so much more kind of buried concerns I have about Ichiro that I've always had. So I've always enjoyed Ichiro. Like, first of all, I'll say this. Ichiro has lived in the United States of America for like 18 years.
Yes.
How do you not know who Tom Brady is? I've always seen Ichiro as like disconnected from everyone, like his teammates, you know, everyone. It's like he just loves himself and what he does. Like, I love his production and what he does on the field, but him as a person, like, his English, super broken.
Kind of, actually. Not really.
Yeah, his English is pretty good, actually. I mean, it's pretty good.
Than he lets on,
okay,
for sure.
I haven't heard him talk in a really long time.
Like, he talked to me like this, Drew. What's up, man? It was the weirdest thing. I couldn't believe it was his voice.
That's awesome. Okay, I take that back. Then,
yes.
Because right? I was wondering, how is he going to be, you know, he's been a baseball player his whole life. He hasn't had a real job. He's never had a real job.
I don't think he needs to. I feel like he's going to be okay. I think he's
Drew,
he's got
I know
money.
Exactly where you're going with this, buddy, and I feel some of the same uncomfortable nature. And I chatted with a bunch of people, and we talked to Smoltz about it. And every time we do this, Lydia gets upset, and we promise not to. You know what? I'm not going to tell you what you get. You at least get an emotion. You emote something, Lydia, that makes me uncomfortable. I won't pigeonhole you and say you get upset with me, all right? I'm not going to do that. But Ichiro is truly, this is it. And the article that was written about him was really well done. This is all he has, Drew. So it shouldn't be a surprise after 18 years and the 7 Super Bowls that Brady played in, this guy just has one mode, one total tunnel vision, a religious nature to the game of baseball, unlike, you know, maybe anybody that we've ever witnessed
over
20-some years.
Does it remind you a little of Nick Saban, I think, was just a couple years ago, claimed he didn't know there was a presidential election going on because he was so focused on football.
Nick was lying,
okay.
But at the same time, there's people who have been them an eye call.
Here's where he wasn't lying. He walked into one of our production meetings, and Mark Jones, when I used to chop it up with Mark Jones, he loved to ask these guys, players or coaches, hey, you're driving in, what's on the old iPad? You know, what's on the iPod? What's popping in the car? And he asked Nick Saban that. He's like, what do you got on the iPod? And Nick Saban looked at him like, what?
What? I have no idea what you're talking
what
about.
What is an iPod? What?
It's like that. But remember the thing in the Belichick documentary where he's getting so mad because he can't reset the time, the clock in his car? That is there are two Belichick things that are all-time classic. One is him yelling at Derek Mason on the sideline, right? When Mason's talking trash to him, even though Baltimore's down by like 20, Belichick's like, oh, shut up, Mason. He's just so annoyed at him. I can't do it because he's cursing at him, but it's so funny. And the other is in that documentary. Which one? Well, I forget what that thing was called.
Was it the Two Bills?
No, it's the one that they did before that. Okay. It's not Education of a Coach, but it's whatever it is. And Belichick is at the beginning, and then he's asking Nance and Sims about it. He's like, do you guys understand how to fix the clock radio? Like, I can't do it. And he's like punching it with his fingers. It's so funny.
And Drew, you're right. Ichiro has been here 18 years, right? That's what's true. So funny about that clip, too, is it wasn't just this year. You made the point, it's not Shohei Ohtani. It's been here for three months, for 18 years.
Yeah, he doesn't care about that. Let's grab Aaron, who's in Bothell. Aaron, what's been on your mind?
Yeah, big baseball fan here. Can't let the 463, 643 thing go.
I appreciate that about you.
Yeah, you're welcome. People would really understand, or if they understood baseball more deeply, I think they'd understand how fun the game is and how fun it can be. You know, if a guy hits three singles to the right side, it's a big difference between how you pitch him the next at bat. And I think people find it more fun.
There's no doubt that baseball, if you have enough interest to get past it and get into that level of the game,
right.
I would agree. I think there's a lot. There's a pot of gold waiting at the end of that range.
Lydia, permission asked freely here. Question?
Always permission granted, bro.
Have you ever dated a real baseball nerd? You know, a baseball, just someone.
Permission revoked. Ask the wrong question.
Someone.
Rescinded.
Or friended. Or just a friend. Do you have a like-minded someone that loves baseball as much as you do?
Probably. I mean, it's a huge thing in my family.
Yes.
But my first boyfriend, yes. My last boyfriend could not get him really into baseball at all. So that was
ill-fated.
Yes, it was ill-fated from the beginning. He didn't think baseball players were athletes. Yeah. He just
jeez,
deal killer.
It was.
Where did you find this guy?
Does baseball have more?
I know, right?
Was prison cell block? Did you find
here
him
in
at?
Seattle?
Does baseball have more nuance than any other sport? Does it have more inside baseball?
I don't know.
Does it have more nuance?
Once you know that every game, they have so much nuance. I mean, Brock, when you talk football, there's so much nuance. Heck, even golf, and we mention this all the time. When what those guys are doing and the way they shape their shots, and come on, there it is. Every game at the highest level has so much nuance.
But there's scheme and execution. So every game has so much scheme. And football's got so much scheme. And golf, you're right. They play a different game in the execution. I'm talking about a little of the nuance.
Yeah,
right?
You might be right.
What John Smoltz said there, right, an hour ago with us. Like, hey, I can look at all the numbers, and I'm not such a caveman. Like, I'm not going to go Charles Barkley on you. I have all the numbers. But ultimately, I've watched this thing for 30-something years, and my eyes are going to see things that others just don't.
It's worth reading that Jason Kendall book, and I'll preach this all the time. It's called, I believe, Throwback is Jason Kendall's book, and it's not about his life. It's not a biography. He's an old catcher, caught for years and years, mostly in Pittsburgh, but he played in Oakland and a couple other places. And he wrote a book, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, that just is all about the intricacies of the game of baseball, what's really going on the field, and why everything happens. I mean, that the whole idea of the fake shake we were talking about with Pac, that type of stuff is explained, what the signs mean, how they steal signs, what you're looking for in each play, what he would do as a catcher, how he wouldn't ever allow anyone to see that he was heard, when he would step away. It's awesome. Yes. It is one of my favorite books I've ever read about sports.
Such a good book.
It really is. And if you like baseball but don't love it yet, it is.
See, I'll take it one step further here, okay? Because Red, Right, Tight.
Glad you read that, Ashley. That's awesome.
You told me to read it.
Oh,
thank you for
go.
The suggestion.
Thanks for listening to me. Nobody
absolutely.
Ever does.
Absolutely.
Red, Right,
you told my kids to listen to me like that?
I can do my absolute best. You guys, we're not listening to Brock right now, ironically, as he's trying to make
sorry.
A
sorry. Go ahead.
Never mind.
No, say it.
The next call.
Say it.
No, I feel better about taking the next call.
Sorry.
No, it's just football. You tell people what to do. Okay, scheme-wise, like the coordinator tells QB, QB tells everybody what to do, and then we go do it, and then whether we get beat or we execute it or not. Baseball, it has so much that is like on them. And even a caddy and a golfer, like, hey, hit this shot, hit to this spot, do this little thing, here's our little measurement. You know, there's just so much freedom in baseball.
It's why it takes some veteran experience before you truly understand the game, and why they don't come up at 21, 22 and just start it takes years and years.
Or they do, and they're totally lost, and they're out of the game in 5 years.
The game speeds up on them. Jacob's in Bothell. Open phone lines now, 206-421-3776. Good morning, Jacob.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
What's up, kid?
So I've been arguing with my friend that NFL teams should never take a QB in the first round. or first two rounds, because if you look at the history of all the Super Bowl winners, you know, how many are like first-round quarterbacks?
Jacob, I think I'm going to side with your friends on this one in that argument. I think you're going to find a whole bunch. Tom Brady throws that for a loop because he's been to seven and he was the outlier as a six-round pick. But I think, don't you find, Jacob, that the majority of them, even if you look at the top 10 QBs in the game right now, right, you start to make that list of Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger and Matt Ryan and go
Cam
through
Newton
it,
and
you're going to find
Eli
the majority
Manning.
Of those guys were first-round guys, are you not?
Well, they might be a top 10, but how many have, like, actually won a Super Bowl or even been to the Super Bowl? So, like, this past year.
All of those guys.
Russell Wilson.
Right.
You know, these guys are, like, second, third, fourth, fifth round guys. So, isn't it better to build a team up first and then get a quarterback, even if it's, like, third, fourth, fifth
now,
round?
Now, that's a good question, Jacob, and I think
second
those are different
part, I
things.
Think, yeah, it's a
yeah.
different question.
I think that's a good point. And you saw Pittsburgh do it. You saw Seattle do it. You know, in some ways, you could say Belichick did it for the first few years with Drew and put a team around. And when Brady came in there, he kind of took it over. So I think those are different things, Jacob. I think most of the guys now that have so much talent at that position, they don't fall beyond the first round. Right, I got to have Patrick Mahomes. I got to have this guy. I got to have Mitch Trubisky. I got to have this kind of talent because there's typically severe drop-off talent-wise. Now, if you're talking about building a whole team up, though, and the concept in your cap structure and everything else, that's a pretty good argument and yeah. debate to get into.
A bunch of people texting in wanting me to say the name of the baseball book again. I believe it's called Throwback by Jason
Kendall.
Just
looked it up, yeah.
Yeah, Throwback by Jason Kendall. It's the idea that he's sort of a throwback, but also the catcher throws the ball back to the pitcher. It's a little play on words, bro.
Oh, well done.
You like that?
I do.
Throwback, Jason Kendall. Wait, worth your time, I promise.
Six, three,
and it's
six,
short.
Four,
it's not a long book. It's a pretty short book, but just packed with cool stuff. Let's see. 206-421-3776. Go to Adam. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. I hope everyone can follow me with this. But for me, it's the way LeBron James shoots his free throws.
Okay.
He's been doing this for the past 2 months.
I'm with you on this.
If you haven't seen it, what he does is when he goes to the free throw line, he gets the ball from the ref, and then he takes one step back with his left foot, and then he moves it back straight with his right foot. I don't know why he does it, but he's been doing that for the past 2 months. And
is he trying to, like, mimic a jump shot?
Yeah, when he first gets the ball, he has his feet lined up together, and then before he shoots, he has his left foot back.
Is it driving you crazy, Adam?
It's driving me
crazy. Is he shooting better with it?
Driving me nuts.
No. He's not a great free throw shooter.
No, he's trying everything. Adam, that's well said. I'm with you, Adam. It's so annoying. Not quite as annoying as when Jeff Hornacek used to pat his face every time he shot a free throw, or some of those guys just drove me crazy. But yes, and LeBron doesn't even like look at the hoop now. He's like in his own head a little bit.
Really?
Yes.
Does he have the yips?
Not quite the full yips, but I think he's so
got half yips.
He's so elite at everything like that he's just trying to mess around.
Interesting.
Yeah. Good call, Adam.
Is he trying to mimic a jump
Who
shot?
Who knows? Right?
Is that what it looks like?
I think at that point he's just trying to get himself into some rhythm or routine.
How does that happen?
Or get into something that you like.
Does a guy who's as good at everything in basketball as LeBron is, how are they not able to hit free throws consistently? Should be the easiest thing in the game, right?
The guys with giant hands, I get. The Shaquille O'Neals and the big men, like you go shoot a tennis ball and see what kind of touch you can have. Shoot, like when your hands get to a certain size, seriously, it's laughable. When Sean Kemp used to come in here, remember shaking his hand?
Mm-hmm.
It was like to your elbow.
Banana hands.
Yes. Like, how can you even develop touch? So I kind of get for big guys. But for him, it's weird. Yeah. And I think they do it so much, you start to get in their own head.
All right, here's the deal. Phone lines are open. We got a couple open now. 206-421-3776. Anything you want to talk about today, and maybe it's something that you've been trying to convince your friends of, an argument you've had, or just a point you've been trying to make about the local sports scene, the national sports scene, whatever. Taking calls on whatever it may be, including this one from Jack, who's in Redmond. Good morning, Jack.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Wow.
I've been listening to you guys actually since, like, 2009. But what I wanted to say about Redmond is when I go out to eat, you know, for my lunch and I want to watch the Mariners game or for dinner or something like that, any bar or restaurant to ask them to put on the Mariners game, it's a groan. And, I mean, we're 6 or 5 games above 500, and I can't even watch the Mariners game when I go out to eat.
So what happened? So take me into this story. So you walk into your local drinking establishment to have a pop at the end of the night, and you say to the bartender, because what's on the TV?
NBA.
It was a Sunday for my lunch break.
Okay.
You know, and they had bull riding and golf.
All right, so they got bull riding and golf on their two TVs. So what do you do? And
I asked them, I said, hey, can you guys put on a Mariners game? And they said, well, we got a couple people watching this golf tournament. I was like, well, the Masters is over. You know what I mean? I can understand if it was the Masters. I was like, just what about that TV in the back, that small tube TV you guys got in the back? And they put it on for me.
Well, that was nice.
I was just trying to watch the Mariners game. Yeah. I, you know, I'm addicted to the Mariners, and they know it because I go there all the time. I've been going there since I was 21, but and they know I'm addicted to the Mariners, so I'm not sure if they're giving me a hard time or not, but
might
bull
be.
Riding and golf.
Do you not tip well when you go there? Are they trying to drive you away and trying to bring in a different customer?
No.
Jack, let's look inward. Let's point the mirror back on yourself.
I constantly do that, Salk, and you're one to talk, buddy. I'm being totally honest here, you know?
I love it, Jack.
Thanks,
but
buddy.
But no, and one last thing. I'll take your comments off the air and everything.
Okay.
But I want to see Rob Whalen come up. He's been pitching really well, got a win last night. And then send Andrew Moore, who's got an ERA of like 2.09 in Arkansas, double A ball.
Yeah.
Send him up to Tacoma. I mean, if you guys follow the farm system and everything, we got a couple young pitchers that are doing a really good job and everything. And I do see a lot of hope for later on in the year that we
have.
Yeah,
the funny thing is on the
trade for a starter, but who knows?
The funny thing on that is of all the things that have been problematic for the Mariners is when Rasmo got hurt and they've gone with Wade LeBlanc, he's pitched well in both games.
Yep.
So, I'm going to guess Rob Whalen will be up here at some point. He has been the best pitcher in AAA. For everybody who was clamoring for Ariel Miranda, he's been disastrous down there, has not pitched well at all.
Mm.
But it's funny, Wade LeBlanc's been the least of their problems. What they really need is somebody in the bullpen that you can trust right now.
You know what, Rob Whalen and Andrew, keep pitching well.
Yeah.
Because you may need to utilize and leverage them come June and July.
So all right, we got the lines buzzing still. 206-421-3776. Take a whole lot more of these calls. Whatever argument you want to make, we're here for you guys today. It's Brock and Salk. Love that every day at 9:30, Lydia brings the hip hop every day. The best part of the 9:30 segment of this show. And right now, it's going to include a lot of you guys. 206-421-3776 and open lines here all this hour. Really, just the simple question of something that you're trying, a point you've been trying to make to your friends.
Yeah, one thing we're going to get to tomorrow. You and I are going to debate, and it does show you're in baseball mode, as you didn't even want to get to the Colin Cowherd sound on it today, which is usually a given. I mean, it's a go-to every single time. But I'm curious if any of these six takes here, phone lines are full. But curious if any of you have had the same conversation. I had it on a deck over the weekend, and that was, I'm not cutting that check. I'm not paying $32 million for a quarterback, even Russell. And I don't know where you're going to fall on that. You and I will have a healthy conversation about that tomorrow, maybe with some of you as well. And Joel Klatt's going to be in that conversation from Fox. But I'm curious if any of you around the coffee shop or in your office have started to have that conversation, because, Mike, you've said it. It will be the single biggest topic in the 10 years we've been doing a show.
Yeah.
Is, are you going to commit those kind of resources, cut that fat a check to a guy whose past certainly deserves it, but as you build for the future, is that the direction you want to go?
That's going to be a good one tomorrow. Yep. All right, let's hear from you guys. 206-421-3776. Bouncing around the world of sports, whatever you got, whatever point you've been trying to make. Jeff's in Bothell. Jeff, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Sure.
First-time caller.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I've had a bit of an argument here with a couple of my sons regarding Kyle Seager.
Mm.
And my contention is, and I don't have any facts to back this up, but when Kyle, that's why I'm calling you guys.
Well, I know the afternoon show's not doing a show today, but you can play Jim's role. This is perfect. Just, hey, I don't have any facts to back this up.
No,
it's just how I feel.
Jeff, what you're doing right now is you're crowdsourcing. So you're doing
right.
Exactly right.
All right, what do you got?
Oh, I love it. Well, my contention is that when Kyle Seager's hitting, the Mariners tend to win more.
How do you explain the first month of this year?
Pardon me?
How do you explain the first month of this year? Because they've been pretty good, and he has not been.
Don't know.
No. Jeff, don't say that. Jeff, don't say that. Say, what are you talking about? He had a 10-day stretch where he carried the team. He had a really good, for him, it was a decent April.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I mean. When he's hitting,
yep,
the Mariners tend to win more.
Hmm.
And just because of the where he is in the lineup, and my sons say, no, he's not a key to at all to the Mariners, and
Well, Jeff, I think in years past, thank you for the phone call, my friend. In years past, you carried a lot more weight with your argument.
Yeah.
In years past, I think that that tended to be very true.
They've
now that you've got
been
D,
winning despite him
yeah,
right
well,
now.
Yeah, now you got D hitting 340. You've got Ryan Healy, who's won a couple games. And Nino's had some enormous blasts.
Let me
now,
just, I'll ask you this. If you were to look at OPS for the nine regular starters for the Mariners, that includes Ben Gamble right now. So of the nine regular starters for the Mariners, where does Kyle Seager rank in terms of OPS, which we've sort of used as a very general stat to look at how a guy
I'm
is
I'm going to say six or
on
seven.
On base plus slugging.
Six or seven.
Eighth.
Yeah.
The only person in their starting lineup with a worse OPS than Kyle Seager to start the year is Ben Gamble, who's been, you know, who really struggled at the beginning. He's hitting under 200.
Yep.
Kyle Seager has an OPS of 685.
Yeah, and to Benny's point, I mean, he missed the entire spring, right? So Gamble's trying to crank it up after
It's just bizarre for a guy who puts up numbers year after year. Amazing how much he struggles in April. And if they can get him really hitting like Kyle Seager, God, what is this lineup capable of doing? I don't think, man, they're really capable of a lot.
Yep.
All right, let's try.
So, Jeff, you weren't entirely wrong,
no.
by the way. You keep fighting yourself.
I like that. Yeah. Mike's in Seattle. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Real quick, guys. I'm a longtime football fan. Started playing Pee Wee football back in 1960. But I got to throw this out to you guys real quick. On the rule change, I think they're very exciting in the National Football League, adding more drama, excitement, expense to football is on the field goal attempt. And I got to watching football, and I got a thought. Sometimes you'll see that football kicked by the kicker will strike that upright or the crossbar and ricochet either no good or ricochet through good. My rule changed in National Football League. In order for you to get the three-point field goal, that ball must clearly transit between the upright and over the goalpost. Any striking of the goalpost or the upright and the ball ricochets through good,
it's
still a good field goal, but it's only worth 2 points.
Oh, only worth two.
Whoa. Expense to the game. Whoa. What do you think?
Oh, Mike, that's kind of fun. I don't know.
I think so too, guys.
Yeah, Mikey, I kind of like it. I'm kind of digging it. We used to play that game on the playground. Like the beauty bark was like hot lava. You like couldn't touch it, right? You the uprights and the crossbar are untouchable.
Woody's in Auburn. Good morning, Woody.
You're not buying.
No, we just have a lot of people on the line.
Oh, okay.
What's up, Woody?
What's up, Woody?
Woodrow.
Oh, Woody.
Woody going once. Woody going twice.
Woody's trying to figure out the uprights.
Oh, Woody, it's too bad. Nick's in North Kakalaka. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Great.
Awesome. So I want to try to say this the best I can. I have a hard time getting my thoughts together sometimes. But last year, of course, before the start of the 2017 season, we let go of Hauschka. We picked up Blair Walsh, which I originally thought was not a good idea. What did you guys think about that when it happened? And what do you think now of the new kicker that we have picked up during the free agency before the draft?
Sebastian Janikowski.
Yeah. It's been doing a little while, Janikowski. Wonder if Ichiro knows who Sebastian Janikowski is.
No. No chance. No chance on that one.
Kicker?
What do you think?
I will say this. What was his name? Nick? I will say this, that I understood the Hauschka move at that point. I could kind of rationalize it. Over the course of the season, it made me furious. And you know what? I think if you ask those Seahawks folks, they would say, hey, Hauschka had kicks blocked. He kicked it too low. He struggled in the division. There were some things there that were concerning to them, and Blair Walsh had a skill set of getting the ball up in the air, an amazing leg talent that they just thought was doable. But in the end, as we know, there are gamers out there, and then there are non-gamers.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see it on the playground with 3- and 4-year-olds or 3- and 4th graders. Maybe not 3- and 4-year-olds. Maybe you do. Maybe you see it on the soccer field with 5- and 6-year-olds. Those that know how to play the game and those that don't. And Blair, unfortunately, just not a gamer. And Hauschka, no matter what it looks like, is unbelievably effective as he was in Buffalo last year.
I'm with you on it. And I guess what I would say is that I think kicker is one of the most important positions that doesn't get paid that way. It's one of only, look, who's the leading scorer on every football team? The kicker.
Mm-hmm.
And when they miss, it is such a disaster. It is such a deflating moment for your team. And when they miss in big spots like Blair Walsh did this past year, it's deflating. And you specifically lose games. And yet team after team says, it's just a kicker.
And I'll say this about Service, too. And you'll hear this a lot. And Service has said this, Mike, if you liked his little point yesterday about, hey, having meaningful games, I'll tell you what else he said equally is we're going to have a lot of close games this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a lot of close games this year in a division. With this lineup and everything, you're going to have a lot of close games. And when you're the Seahawks, with the way that Russell plays and his governor and the way that they go about it with a defensive run game, guess what you're going to have? a lot of close games.
Yeah.
And you got to have a kicker.
What would you like to? What point would you like to make? Something that's been on your mind, something you've been trying to tell your friends, and you want to make this point to the world. Kurt is in Pleasanton, California. Good morning, Kurt.
Hey, guys. I think every time you mention Alabama football, can we please play some from that trainer?
Strength coach?
Yeah.
That would be Scott Cochran, the strength coach for Alabama.
He's just a true got a new contract.
Oh,
he did.
I know.
Yes, he did.
What's he getting paid now?
He's become the second highest paid strength coach in college football.
Really?
Probably. Behind Iowa's strength coach.
I'm going to say close to $750,000.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
That sure is
unbelievable. Yep. All right. What is that the point you want to make?
No, sorry. So I think the NCAA needs to continue to pay athletes with scholarships. I think it's the value of the scholarship that has been undermined with the things, scandals happening and players getting extra benefits from teachers and professors. I think they should create a degree at each university. It's like an athletic, the business degree of some sort, and you have the teachers, no BS. You have to teach these kids how to make do with their money. Tell them that 97% of them, the kids from Rutgers and Pitt aren't going to make it to the NFL or the NBA, and let them know that, hey, this is what you need to prepare for after these 3 years.
So hold on a second, Kurt. So are you advising that they that they have to have a business development degree or an economics degree? Well, what are you advising?
Not necessarily a degree, because obviously NBA players are leaving after 6 months
for
NCAA, but give them as much of the tools as possible and don't give them a free out with the professors giving them A's or writing papers for them. Okay. Just give them as much tools as possible so that the value of that time that they are there, whether it is a degree or just the classes, increase that value.
Appreciate it. Appreciate the phone call. Let's see. That's Scott Cochran. He's the strength coach at Alabama, and he's.
I mean, to be fair, why does it have to just be Alabama? Can't it be like with every phone call? We just play this dude.
It does feel like we should be. All right, we've got one more call. Do you want Jeffrey, Ryan, Chris, or Fred?
Fred.
You want Fred and Birch Bay?
Oh, I like old Fred.
What's up, big Fred? What you got today? Last word.
Hey, fellas. Good to talk to you.
You too.
Hey, listen. I love Marshawn Lynch. I love what he did for our team and our town. But enough. Hey, Marshawn, get out of my radio. So that's
who's talking about Marshawn? Hold on a minute.
I love him.
Hold on, Fred. Fred, you know I love you.
Who's talking about
you? But Fred, you just called a show with open phone lines where no one has mentioned Marshawn Lynch in the entire day, only to complain about people talking about Marshawn Lynch.
Who was talking about you?
What do you mean?
In the past, up until today,
there has
been an inundation with, let's just say, waxing so empathic about the days gone by. I'm looking forward to Rashad Penny. Thank you very much.
Man, I know I'm going to get got.
Hey, the other thing is, personalities in baseball make it more fun to watch. We've got a lot of personalities in this Mariner team.
True.
Everybody pay attention.
All right.
Watch how their personalities.
Fred, here's what I'm going to tell you. Do not listen to the radio in October when the Seahawks get ready to go to Oakland to take on the Raiders.
Nope.
Or to London, rather, to take on the Raiders. Because I'm going to guess there's going to be a lot of Marshawn Lynch memory and a lot of Marshawn Lynch talk during that week. Yeah, all right.
Marshawn. I know I'm going to get got. But I'm going to get mine more than I get got, though.
Well, give me the one with the quesadilla. I think that's my favorite of the Marshawn.
All this 60-minute bread. Y'all ain't took me out to not one dinner. We was right at Taco Bell, and I couldn't even get no motherfucking quesadilla.
Yeah, why would we keep talking about Marshawn Lynch? Who wants to hear about that guy? All right, from your takes to ours, Answer the Question Jerk is next. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Any question on any subject, we'll answer them. Coming up on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk's Answer the Question Jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, let's do this. Let's answer your questions. How we end every show, 710-710, powered by Coors Light. That's what you do. You text us, and then we answer. He's Brock. I'm Mike. Lydia's on the board. Howdy's being annoying, and Ashley is filling in for Kyle today. So those are the characters.
Who's going to let Kyle know we did two new things today?
Not me.
Whose job is that?
No, thank you. No way. No, I nominate Lydia.
I nominate Ashley.
No.
I don't mind.
No way, Ashley. Let's step up.
Country music fans, you and Kyle, you got some commonality there.
Oh, I'm Mr. I'm going to listen to Mike cry about Shohei Ohtani and then tell me that I'm negative.
Miss you, Kyle.
Miss Kyle.
Miss you.
All right, what does Coach Brock Heward wear during Little League games? Full uniform, cleats, batting gloves, helmet? What do you do?
None of it. Nothing.
I mean, clothes of some kind. Yeah.
Seems like a terrible way to manage
kids. No, I do what we watch Curly do, which I guess he posted to Facebook.
Of him taking off his shirt the other day? Yeah, he's got some hot tub commercial going or something.
Oh, does he really? Yeah, their show Facebook page.
Sheesh. No thanks.
No, I just wear pretty normal. I don't do anything. Okay. Nothing special.
Jeans?
And I'm not even the official skipper. I'm just kind of the assistant to the assistant.
If
I'm
you were the skipper, would you dress up more?
No.
You're the Ichiro dress
sweats.
Of that club.
I go with my dress sweats with the shirt and the hat. Yeah, nothing else.
Next question.
Salk, I feel like you swear a lot off the air. Is it tough to stop?
Yeah.
Yes and yes.
And do I worry every day? When we go to break, like, do I look at that on-off switch all the time?
No.
Huh? I mean, you barely do.
What's the best trick play you've ever seen in person?
In person?
Yeah.
Trick play?
I've been a part of.
I mean, it wasn't necessarily a quote-unquote a trick play. The fake field goal touchdown to Gary Gilliam, as far as meaning in our lives.
That's a trick play.
Pretty
it's a gadget of some sort.
That was a pretty significant play.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've seen the Statue of Liberty at Boise State. Not the original.
Were you there?
No, not the original, but a redo.
That's
still fantastic.
Cool. That's one of the greatest all-time trick plays. Oh. I caught a double reverse pass for a touchdown in high school. Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
It's the ball in the air a long time.
Oh, God, forever. I was a fullback leading the play and then like the tailback, handed to the wide receiver who tossed back to the quarterback who launched it to me. I'm waiting in the end zone wide open, and it feels like a million years just waiting for this stupid ball to get there. Thank God I got it.
Mike and I so picture you as like a Sam Gash.
Oh, yeah, I had a big cowboy collar. Darn right.
Oh, gosh, I can just picture
What I really wanted was one of those boards like Brian Cox wore. That was the best. We got a lot of SAT questions for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, we have multiple SAT questions.
Is this when people start taking them in the spring?
Maybe.
Yeah.
So we have two of them. Would you take the over-under on 1,300 for Salk's SAT score?
Mm.
And then the other is, did any of you score higher on the math portion of the SATs than the reading portion?
Mm. No idea.
I definitely scored better on the reading portion.
Did you?
I scored better on the math, which came as a big shock.
Really?
Interesting.
I was
even.
Did not expect. Every category was even.
Yeah, even.
Did you prepare for it?
The first time, no. And then the second time, I did a little bit of, I studied a little bit on my math.
Yes.
And my verbal went up. My math stayed exactly the same.
Interesting.
The coaching did nothing.
Any pre-SATs, any prep,
any
studying?
Yeah, I did the
studying.
PSATs.
Did you? Yeah,
well, they took the PSATs. I mean, that's a test you take.
Right. Didn't do any of that. Should have.
I was more of an ACT guy. I took them both, but my scores in the ACT were significantly
off
higher.
Off the chart. Genius, right?
Yeah.
Genius score, yep. Got you that TA thing right away, or the RA thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Next question.
I take the over.
You're over 13. Good for you. Smarty pants.
Let's see. Jerks. If you could, where do you think has the nicest public bathroom in Seattle? How about just the nicest bathroom in general? I don't use a ton of public bathrooms in Seattle. I often, or at least occasionally, am forced to use the Green Lake public bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
They could be better. They're full of spiders, which totally bugs me out.
Oh,
there are like spiders galore in the Green Lake public bathrooms. Tons of them.
Nordstrom downtown has a pretty nice public bathroom, would expect.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I shouldn't even be in it. Like, okay, I'm just going to walk out of here.
I
feel
like the differential between the
women's.
They
have, like, a separate room before you even go into the bathroom.
An ante room.
With, like, a chaise lounge.
Whoa.
Like, yeah. I'm like, what is happening
here? In the downtown Nordstrom, you shouldn't say this to too many people. All of a sudden, it'll get overrun.
Everyone at Nordstrom's probably upset.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Men's bathroom, women's bathroom. Obviously, big difference. Men's filthy.
Much
dirtier. Generally. And let's say you're somewhere, I don't know, let's say at Chipotle. And the men's one's locked. And there's no line, and the women's one is vacant. You run in there real quick, in and out.
Is it a single?
Single.
It's a single, so you lock the door and nobody else can come in?
Yes, but it's clearly designated.
That's tough. You know.
Ever sneak attack?
The only time I've ever done that was if the men's room was broken. not dirty or full, but broken.
Just broken.
Yeah.
All right.
Other than that, I think I'd feel some level of guilt.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You?
I don't. Obviously. Yeah, I just got to.
Oh, really? I thought you would have done it.
No, I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever, whatever it takes.
Answer the question, jerks. What does Howdy think of the shade that Shannon Dreyer threw at him last night in the Mariners postgame show?
What?
I'm shade impervious, man. I live my life in the sun.
What did she
Why
say?
Why is Shannon throwing shade at you?
You know, she's just... I'm going to guess that she was going to try and not have the attribution of the Mike Zunino stuff come towards me.
Oh.
But you know what? You can't shade me, man.
By the way, Shannon and Howdy have one of the better argument like styles in this
in their podcast.
Together. No, just in general. Like they just start arguing about baseball stuff in the sports bit. It's usually pretty fun.
Do you guys are you still doing the podcast with Shannon?
It's Shannon's podcast, right. And I come on it sometimes when
sometimes.
I'm
all right. So you're like that seed you can buy at Home Depot that any shade, sun doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
You're
I'm going to shine.
It's like the grass that I just planted.
Like never nervous, pervious. You're impervious to shade.
Impervious to shade.
Nice.
Impervious to everything but water.
Did you like Purvis? Never nervous Purvis?
I saw him in the bathroom of an IHOP once. He was, as usual, out of service. But he was standing, he was peeing in a stall for whatever reason, standing up, and his head came fully above the top of the stall. He was in an IHOP at like 2 in the morning when he was playing for the Celtics.
And you said never
nervous. My buddy Brian and I walked in there like, look, it's never nervous Purvis, totally out of service.
And why are you having to pee in the stall? In the stall?
I don't know.
There was an open urinal.
And he went into the stall, and his head fully, 100% from neck up, all the way above the top of the stall.
Why have you never shared that story?
I think I probably have. You probably just forget. It's one of the all-time greats. It's one of my greatest stories.
He just didn't trust the people around him. I'm going to guess.
See Purvis Ellison in IHOP
and
bathroom.
Kevin Garnett in the shower. Oh. Yeah, you awesome.
Had a very strange experience with very tall Boston Celtics.
Barn.
All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow morning. Joel Klatt will join us. Quarterback conversation tomorrow as well. Thanks for participating in the old open phone line deal. That was fun. We'll see you guys at 7 a.m. Until then, the hay.
Barn.
See you, everybody.
You got to live for the pain. Live for the pain. Herb, bah, hit it.
Get to the chopper.